The title of this workshop is Tips for the Successful Woman in the Home. And somebody was asking me where I come from. What are you talking about? What does that mean? And I had to think about if I put this workshop in a nutshell, I would call it time and mind control, or time and mind management for the woman. Being a woman, I can only speak from that point of view. So that's what we'll be talking about for a little bit tonight. Let me just ask very quickly, how many of you have a full-time job outside of the home? Let me see your hand. Okay, that helps me know how to relate to the group. I heard today that 60% of the women in, I don't know if it was Connecticut or Hartford, but they said in this area, whatever that meant, work. So we have a low percentage of that today. The subtitle of this is How to Survive as a Harried Housewife. Have any of you ever felt like that? The Lord has given me a lot of experience in that area. I guess that's why He's given me the opportunity to share this workshop. I really felt like this past week I've been there, you know, just right there with Harriet. Did you hear about the lady who decided she was going to get more organized? She decided to start with hall closet. She went to the hall closet, and the first thing she pulled out was the Monopoly game. So she went to go put that in the kids' room. Well, they hadn't seen it, didn't know how to play. So they said, Mom, show us how to play this. So she sat down and taught them how to play. 2 hours later, she goes back to the closet, and the next thing she pulls out is the flashlight. But the batteries aren't working, so she thought, aha, I'm going to get more organized, so I'll go write this on my grocery list. She goes to the kitchen but can't find a pencil. She thinks, where did I see a pencil? Oh, yes, it was in the kids' room. Back to the kids' room, where she's distracted by Monopoly again. Then she goes back to the bedroom, finds a pencil. It's broken, but she knows where a pencil sharpener is. Her eyebrow pencil sharpener. She goes to her bathroom, sharpens her pencil, and just then the telephone rings. It's a friend. Visits with her friend, only to be interrupted by a crying child. As she hangs up and comforts the child, she looks at the clock, and it's time to fix lunch. And she thinks, where has the day gone? She puts the small children quickly to bed after lunch, but decides to skip lunch herself. She's trying to lose a few pounds. But as she begins to work around and see what needs to be done that day, she is so overwhelmed that she thinks, maybe I should just get a little candy bar for real quick energy. And then as she's sitting in front of her favorite soap opera, wondering what she should do next, you know how the rest of the day progresses. Her husband comes in. Dinner is not ready. The house is a mess. And she's still wondering, where did my time go? I bet all of you can identify with some of that. And I think that's typical for thousands and thousands of women. Well, why is Harriet so hurried? I think she's so hurried because she's listening to so many different people demand different things from her. Not only people in her family, but everywhere she looks, television, radio, newspaper ads. She's told what kind of no-wax polish to use on her never-wax floor, and how little low-sudsing biodegradable detergent to use in her never-needs-replacing 10-year guarantee washing machine. And she's even told how to toilet train in a day. And that does not work for me. Everyone is vying for her time. And because she is willing to be daily guided by these external forces with no plan of her own, she is tossed from side to side. Why is she so hindered, and what are some of her bad habits? Generally, she is living a feeling-oriented life. Because she does what she feels like, it's easy for others to stir up her emotions and therefore change her mind about what she might have planned to do. Secondly, she is easily distracted by the urgent, immediate needs and often overlooks the important. She is trapped by the trivial pursuits of life. Number three, she has no plan or goals to guide her life, much less her day. So she never knows what to do next until she trips over it. Because she has failed to plan, she has planned to fail. Fourth, not only is she disorganized, although generally busy, but there is an attitude that she carries with her that others noticed. It's an attitude of harriedness. Somebody asked me, is that really a word? And it is. Now I'm going to tell you what the dictionary gives as a meaning for harried. To make a pillaging or destructive raid. To force to move along. To torment by constant attack. That's the definition of my 2.5-year-old. And the synonym for harried is worry. She's harried and hurried, distracted and disturbed, because she has the wrong plans and purposes for her life, or she has no plans. Well, as I was growing up, I was an HHH. I had a special drawer in my room that was my junk drawer. And what went into that junk drawer was everything that I either didn't have time to pick up or I didn't know where else to put it. So I just put it in that drawer. By the time I was old enough to, you know, move away from college, I had a whole junk room. At least that's what my parents called it. When I changed clothes in the evening, I would very carefully, very neatly, lay my clothes on a chair by my bed. And after a couple of weeks, I would notice that the ones that were at the bottom, you know, were so creased that they could not be worn again without being washed or ironed. And it was this attitude that I took with me to college. But at college, I began to see that there were other people who lived differently. It wasn't just my parents who were, you know, telling me about this, but there were other people who really did live differently. These girls knew where things were that they needed without looking three different places. Mm-hmm. These girls had something ironed and clean and ready to put on when they woke up in the morning. You know, you always saw the same people down in the little ironing room at my college ironing, you know, in the morning before classes. There's a whole crew of us there. You know, I saw these people. I noticed that not only did they have it together externally, but they were at peace internally. And I wanted what they had. The first step toward solving my problem came in an unusual way. I was so tired of trying that I basically just gave up. Not only was my room in shambles, but my life was in shambles. And even though I'd been raised in a Christian home, and had repeatedly, you know, told the Lord, I will do better, I'll try harder, I began to see that it was going to have to be God's responsibility if there were going to be any changes in my life. The first change that became evident was when I, excuse me, just basically told the Lord, I give up. God, I can't try any longer. If you want me to live a Christian life, you'll have to live it through me. Now, my prayer was a prayer of desperation. I had no idea what God planned to do next. But the next day, something very unusual happened. I woke up early. And not only did I wake up early, but I had a desire to read the Bible. I had always put off reading the Bible because I never understood it before. But I can still remember going down to the study hall on my floor and pulling out my Bible early in the morning and opening it and began to see that God had something personal to say to me for that day. And as I began to make a habit of that, I began to see God gradually put my life back together. And my room followed. Well, what were the results? The first one was the internal peace that I so hungered for. As God began to work inside, there were very small, gradual changes that began to come to the outside. As my spiritual life began to be organized and ordered, my physical life began to be ordered and organized. And even today, I see that when spiritually I am unorganized, when my time with the Lord has been short or hurried, I can see what my house looks like. It's always the spiritual that leads to the external. Always the internal leads to the external. I begin to see my relationships with people improve, especially my mother. I found out that we could talk about something besides my room. And it was wonderful to have, you know, the sharing opportunities, you know, that my mother had, I'm sure, longed for years, since we had removed that barrier. Since that time in college, I've had at least 3 major times to readjust and reorder my life due to changes in circumstances. The first was when I finished college and began working full-time. The next one was when I got married but continued to work part-time. And then the third was when I had children, and now I work all the time. Even though I'm busier than I have ever known, I can say that I am more fulfilled, and things are definitely in more order than they have ever been. God has deeply affected my life, and I know He's not finished. He is continuing to remove the hectic, harried, hurriedness, and he's replacing it with happy, helpful holiness. And that is a gradual possibility. That is a gradual change. But it is a possibility for each of us. It is sure, but we have to have a plan. And we have to have God's plan. Well, what does that include? First, our attention must be turned to God. We must turn to His Word for our standard of daily living. In Psalms 90, verses 9 through 12, there's a very familiar passage about time, which we're not going to spend a lot of time on tonight. There's another verse in Ecclesiastes 3:1 that says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." We know that God is the one who has given us time, and it is God that has a plan for how we use each minute of each day. God plans a time for everything that are in His plans. If you are consistently rushed and running out of time, maybe you are not doing the things that God has planned for you. In Ephesians 5:15 through 17, God warns us about our use of time. I want to read that from the Amplified translation. "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is." God tells us here that we are to use our time to do His will. Well, the next question would be, well, what is God's will? Well, it's listed in the next verses in Ephesians 5. Some of you might want to turn to that, as we're going to spend a little bit of time on this passage now and a moment later. In Ephesians 5:18 through 6:9, we are told that we are to be in right relationship with God. As the Holy Spirit is controlling our life, the next response in that passage is that we are to praise and worship God. And then there are instructions for our relationships with husbands and wives, parents, children, employees, and employers. So all the relationships that we deal with in our lifetime is covered in that passage. A parallel passage is Colossians 3:17 through 24. A key verse from that passage is verse 23. I like it in the Living Bible. It says, "Work hard and cheerfully at all you do, just as though you were working for the Lord and not merely for your masters." I think a lot about that as I work around my house. In all we do, we should visualize each task as a special assignment from the Lord and use all our energies to accomplish them. I've been toilet training the last month, and I've really been focusing that this is a special assignment from the Lord to be done His way in His time. Another verse that is related is Psalms 90:17 in the Amplified. In this verse, "Ask the Lord to confirm and establish the work of our hands." Have you ever prayed that your house wouldn't get dirty fast? You know, maybe you should add that to your prayer list. Establish means to, you know, make it endure. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 in the Living Bible says, "Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you, and that He lives within you? Your body does not belong to you, for God has bought you with a great price. So use every part of your body to give glory back to God, because He owns it." As Christians, our body and our time are under the ownership of Christ, paid for by His blood. Have you given your body and how you use your time back to God? As we give ourselves and our time to God, He will help us want to obey Him, and He will give us the power to do His will that He's ordained for us in our lives. Does God really want me to organize my time? Yes, He does. It's God's plan to guide us and to help us organize our lives. There's many references to this in the Bible and many reasons for this, so I'm just going to hit some high points of these. These should all be on your outline, these are verses that I'm sharing. Proverbs 19:2 in the New International Version says, "It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way." Have you ever gotten up in the morning all energetic to get into your housework, but you really didn't have a plan? And you're just kind of tossed from one room to another? If our energy is misdirected, we won't accomplish the most important things. Busyness does not always result in productivity. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "Let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner." And as we're talking about God wants our time to be organized, look at how the Lord has organized the universe. Remember when you were in fifth grade and you studied about the planets and the solar system and how this moon revolves this way? And that's order. It's meticulous order. The more our lives are organized, the more we are freed from the mundane to give our best time to the Lord and to things of eternal value. Weren't you challenged by what Mr. Riggs shared tonight? I think one of the main purposes that my husband and I now are working so much on personal organization in our lives is so we can be freed from these daily responsibilities to minister to people's lives. I have to set up my calendar in advance and plan for childcare so I can be available to go to a Bible study that I know will really help me grow in the Lord. And in our city, after the Billy Graham Crusade, the Lord just opened up an opportunity for a friend and myself to begin a Bible study with some of the people we had counseled at the Crusade. And so there was another day of childcare that, you know, I needed to plan. And as I prayed, it was exciting to see the Lord just have an opening on those days for, you know, all of the women, you know, for babysitting. And as I began to spend time personally with some of the girls and just really to share with them how they can grow in the Lord, you know, and how to get help for their daily life, as Charlie said, that's the most important thing that we have to share with other people, is how Christ can make a difference in their daily life. And, you know, that's the difference between Christians and non-Christians. It should be. I heard that the definition of availability is adjusting my personal responsibilities around the needs of those I am serving. And the opposite of availability is self-centeredness. When we are available to God and are putting the most important things first in our life, then God puts Proverbs 10:27 in the Living Bible into action, which says, "Reverence for God adds hours to each day." How many times have you said that or thought that? I wish I had more hours in the day. 10:27. So if we will reverence the Lord and put Him first in our life, that is His promise. What are the most important things in our life? If we have all the time we need to do all that is His will, what is His will? Okay, now this goes back to the passage in Ephesians 5 and 6 about the important relationships that God says are part of His will. And we can just take that passage. You may just want to look at that again as we go through this very quickly. And these verses are on your outline, so we will not look them up now, but I would really encourage you to look these up later. You're going to get a lot of assignments to do these next 2 days, I'll just warn you. So plan some time to do it. Okay, the first relationship that is mentioned in this passage is our relationship with the Lord. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, if we read ahead of that verse, all these things are food, clothing, and shelter. So our basic needs in life, God says, I will take care of them, you know, as you put me first. And there's some other passages here. My time and life belong to Jesus, and I must put Him first. The second relationship, if you're married, is your husband. Ephesians 5:33 in the Amplified translation says, "Let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, that she defers to him and praises him and loves and admires him exceedingly." The next priority or the next relationship we're told is children. This is not a workshop on children.
So I'm going to just stop there. There is a workshop provided for children this weekend. The fourth relationship that is mentioned is work. Now, there's just a few of you here who have full-time jobs outside of the home, but let me quickly say, if you have made a commitment to work for an employer on a full-time basis, your first priority after your family is that job. It will come before your home and other responsibilities because you have given that employer a commitment. And the Bible says so much about employer and employee relationships. If you have a flexible job or you just work a few hours helping your husband out, which is where I am now, my home responsibilities come before my work on a general basis. There are occasions when I get an emergency phone call from the office that says, we need you to do this now. But generally, my home would be a responsibility first before my work. And for the majority of you here tonight, that would be true. So the next priority would be our home. Now, this isn't specifically in Ephesians 5, but I'm taking a follow-up from the passages on husband and children. We can't talk about that without the responsibilities of the home. You know, we are not to be enslaved to housework, but we are to create a haven from the world for our husbands and our children. The next priority would be our relationship with others. There are only two things on earth that will last throughout eternity: the Word of God, the Bible, and people. I liked what Charlie said. He's in eternal securities. And that's what each of us are doing as we spend time praying, writing letters, visiting, encouraging one another to grow spiritually. Now, the last priority I have listed is myself. And there's a lot of dispute over whether you should put yourself before others or whatever. I put myself last on the priority list because I usually take real good care of myself. And I don't have a problem with seeing that Cindy doesn't get taken care of. Some people might need to raise that up on their list because God does not want you to totally wear yourself out and totally neglect yourself. There's a balance we're talking about. But Christianity is basically a life of denying self and putting others first. But it doesn't mean to the extent of neglecting or misusing our bodies. You may want to look up these other references, but these are the priorities that I basically guide my life by. And we have to quickly talk about those before we can talk about organizing times or schedules or anything else, because that's a key issue to knowing how to organize our time. You may be asking yourself now, why bother? Who cares? No one appreciates me anyway. Why try? Or you may be thinking, I am too busy to tackle one more new idea. I think often it is the wrong or negative thoughts that rob us of our energy to do what is right. When we allow these wrong thoughts to stay in our mind, they build a home there. Check your attitude. Are you willing to allow God to make some changes? Or do you just want to complain and never change? Don't we know people like that? I don't want to be like that. God doesn't want us to be swamped by our negative or wrong thoughts because He does care. God wants us to learn to live contented lives in a world full of tension. God's plan may not be to remove the stress or tension, but He will teach us how to respond to it, and how to endure it. James 1:2-8 is a very special passage that tells us to greet our trials or frustrations or problems as friends. And we need to ask God, instead of asking, why did this come into my life? We need to say, God, what do you want to teach me through this? We've been asking that a lot recently. God cares for us. And one thing He wants to do is to teach us discipline. 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8 says, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Jay Adams, in his excellent booklet titled Godliness Through Discipline, says that discipline means work. It means sustained daily effort. Now that's what I do. Isn't that what you all do? Sustained daily effort. By the way, that booklet should be available at the book table. I would encourage you all to... Did you see it there? Good. I didn't get a chance to check. Godliness Through Discipline. It's just a small little pamphlet. It's probably 50 cents or less. But he has some very excellent things in there for those of you who say, I have no self-control, I'm totally undisciplined. This little booklet would really encourage you. It would also reveal to you that you do have resources available. But we must work to develop new habits of putting God first in our life. It takes discipline. It may mean getting up a little earlier to spend time with the Lord. But He wants us to start our day with Him, reading the Bible and praying, asking Him to get rid of our wrong attitudes and to give us His joy. After I spend time praying and reading my Bible, I get my calendar out. There's my calendar. And go through the day's plans. And as I do, I ask the Lord, you know, for insight or wisdom or emotional strength, physical strength, just to give me exactly what I need for that day. 1 Peter 5:7 says, let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. God is concerned about you. But the world could care less. And it is the cares or concerns of this world that often rob us of our time with our caring God. Mark 4:19 in the Amplified says, then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. In the Living Bible, that same verse says, but all too quickly, the attractions of this world and the delights of wealth and the search for success and lure of nice things come in and crowd out God's message from their hearts so that no crop is produced. Doesn't that sound like the 20th century? And just think, this is an age-old problem. This is not new. Mark 4:19. Another excuse we give for not spending time with God is that we don't have enough time or that we are just too busy that day. But perhaps we are wasting our time. There are many careless wasters of time. Some of the most common that have been listed by a well-known time management consultant for the business world, and I think some of these apply to us, are lack of objectives, priorities, or deadlines, indecision, procrastination, lack of standards, fatigue, the blues, daydreaming, phone calls, visitors. I've added some others. Those are theirs. I think housewives could add repeated snacking, television, the newspaper, reading the mail. One of the time management consultants says one way to save time is to do jobs standing up. And I've been trying to do this when I get my paper or read the mail, not to sit down. I usually want to sit down, have a cup of coffee or drink my orange juice, but I'm really trying to stand up, and I'm saving time. I'm getting those things done quicker. Another way that housewives lose time is looking for misplaced objects and sleeping late. Some of our interruptions may appear to be good, like a call from a friend, or reading a Christian article in the paper. But the enemy of the good, the enemy of the best is the good. The enemy of the best is the good. Well, how do we stop wasting our time carelessly? The first thing is by careful control of our mind. The first step to spend time daily with God, reading the Bible, praying and committing the day to Him. That's the first step. Psalms 105:3. And the Amplified says, glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those rejoice who seek and require the Lord as their indispensable necessity. You know, I had to ask myself, Lord, am I allowing you to be my indispensable necessity? Isn't that a neat goal in prayer? The next thing I do after reading my Bible and praying is to commit the day's plans to Him. Proverbs 22:3 in the Living Bible says, a prudent man foresees the difficulties ahead and prepares for them, but the simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. The next thing is we need to keep a right mindset during the day and not allow the negative, fearful, angry thoughts to rob us of our joy in the Lord or our emotional and physical strength. Has this ever happened to you in the morning? Something, and it could be anything. Your husband leaves his dirty socks on the floor. He doesn't put the cap on the toothpaste. Or one of the kids spills their milk. Something happens, and you begin to get angry about it. And then you brood on it. And you think back over it all day long, all day long. And let's say it's something your husband has done, and he's left for work, and you're brooding on it. And all day long, you're thinking about, why did he do that? And I mean, by the time he comes home, you have this huge case built against him. And then, of all the nights, he's home late. So when he walks in the door, the food is cold and you are hot. And you let him have it. And he goes, what did I do? That is an example of what wrong negative thoughts do as we allow for them to stay in our mind, uncontrolled. Well, how do we keep ourselves from doing that? Romans 8:5 in the New International Version says, those who live according to their sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The first thing is our mindset. What our mind thinks about leads to our attitudes. Our attitudes lead to our actions. Our actions lead to our lifestyle, and our lifestyle leads to destiny. It all starts in our mind. Actions always follow thoughts. They tell you when you read that book on how to toilet train in a day that your child has to have the vocabulary first before they can do the action. You think about words. You have to have words before you can think. Actions follow thoughts. What do you allow yourself to think about during the day? Proverbs 28:19 in the New International says, he who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. I really like that verse. What are you allowing your mind to chase? When I get off track mentally during the day, and it happens every day, unfortunately, I acknowledge it. I confess it as sin if I've really taken it in and harbored it and kept it there for a while. And then I ask God just to reset my mind toward Him and toward His plans for me. Okay, now that our attitude is right, what actions should we take? Well, first we have to have a plan. Proverbs 16:3 in the Amplified says, roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. And then Proverbs 16:9 in the Amplified says, a mind's man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure. I call it God's PPP plan. Pray, plan, pray. I gain freedom from pressures only when I trust Him to work His plan through me. Well, we need to work our plan. We need to plan our work and work our plan. I've been rereading a book recently, and there was a story in there which is not common only to this book, but it's called the story about the $25,000 plan. You all heard about this. It says that when Charles Schwab was president of Bethlehem Steel, he went to a man by the name of Ivy Lee, who is a management consultant, and he said, show me a way to get more things done, and if it works, I'll pay you anything within reason. So Lee told Mr. Schwab, he said, he handed him a piece of paper, and he said, write down the things that you have to do tomorrow. Then number them in order of importance. When you get to work, start on the most important thing and don't do anything else until number one is finished. When you finish number one, go to number two. If at the end of the day you have only completed your first job, you have done the most important thing for the day. He said the most important thing about this plan is that it's done consistently on a daily basis. He says you try the plan, you get your men to try the plan, and after you've had a chance, you know, to work it for a while, you know, send me a check for what you think the idea is worth. Well, it said that within a few weeks, Mr. Lee received a check for $25,000. And I have been trying to do this, and as my husband and I have had a busy pace the last few months, and I was looking at some of the things that were not being done, it was a real encouragement for me to realize that I could still see things perhaps that weren't done, and that wasn't an encouragement, but what did encourage me was knowing that the most important things had been done. As we arrange our use of time and activities according to our most important priorities, we are doing the most important things. Okay, now you're going to find out why this is called a workshop. You have some extra paper in your notebooks, and you will need it at this time. And you'll have to write fast, but let me encourage you that if you don't get everything done, that I have these transparencies and one copy, and you can copy these things down later. This is not to be, we're going to draw some charts, and this isn't to be a finished copy. This is just a rough draft. But I'm going to give you a number of charts to draw here, and if you would just like to make little tiny ones or something, that would be fine, and just make some lists. The first chart I want you to make is called, title it, A Priority Profile. Okay. Your priorities we are taking from Ephesians 5. Our first priority is God. Our second one is our husband. Next, our children, home, others, and myself. I'll have to kind of slide this over. Let me give you the full scope of this so you can get an idea of what we're going to do here so you can begin to write this out. I'll move this up so you can see it better in a moment here. The first half of the page will be present activities. Now, I'm going to give you a pretty hefty assignment to do, and it's going to take you some time to do this within the next week or so. So don't get overwhelmed. Just realize that you can work on this. But the first thing that is helpful is to list your present activities. I haven't listed everything. I've just kind of given you an idea. For example, my present activities under my priority of with my relationship with the Lord are my daily time with the Lord, my quiet time, my morning devotions, my church attendance. You might want to put down a Bible study that you're in or a prayer group. Okay, what are your present activities that you're involved in with your husband? You may have a particular hobby that you like to work on. Or my husband and I really save Saturdays. We do special projects together and with the family on Saturday afternoons. Under my children, carpool Wednesday and Friday. Boy, that blocked off, you know. Pick up on Wednesday, take on Fridays. There may be, you know, we're getting into soccer and baseball season in Oklahoma City. It may be athletics, you're taking children home. Okay, in the responsibility of the home, what, now, under here, these are just general things, by the way. Under home, don't put everything you do in the home. If you have a particular day that you have set aside for house cleaning, just put that day of the week down. We're going to get more specific. This is a very general chart. We're going to get more specific with each chart. Under your relationship with others, maybe you're leading a Bible study, or maybe you're in charge of a service project at your church, or you have an outreach to some neighbors that you're doing on a consistent basis. What are you doing in your relationship with other people? Maybe it's your correspondence. You know, maybe you're, you know, a letter writer. Or maybe you're a telephone caller. You have an encouragement. You know, you like to call and encourage people over the phone. And then under yourself, what are you doing for yourself?
You know, what are your present activities? Maybe you go to exercise classes, or maybe you exercise at home. Whatever they are, list those. And then under the second half of the paper, list what I would like to add or new goals. And again, these are going to be real general. One of my new goals was a longer quiet time. Now, that's real general. How much longer? When? How? Daily scripture review. Okay, under my husband. Boy, I really want to give him some positive encouragement on a daily basis and making that a real goal to do that specifically. Goals for my children. Toilet train Meredith. Oh, I'm almost ready to check that one off. I'm so excited. I'm not sure you know when that's completed, but I guess when the successes outweigh the failures. We're almost there. Under home, we move this summer. Unpack remaining boxes. What are some big projects that you have? One that you can put down is to reorganize. I'm going to give you some ideas. Others. Boy, I have a couple of neighbors I really want to share Christ with. Had some good opportunities. Myself, lose 5 to 10 pounds. I think it's going to take me a whole year to do that. I know it's not much weight, but I think it's going to take me that long. Does that kind of give you an idea? This is a real general thing. This is something that you'll have to take home and do. And I put these down just to give you an idea. Now, what I would like to do, since we don't have handouts for this, I'm going to pass this sheet around. And whoever ends up with it, will you please collect all of them and hand them to Sarah after the workshop so I can have them back. Then I'll start with you, Norma. Okay, the next list that we're going to make is a daily do list. And the chart's going to be the same way our priority profile was. Because what we're doing is we're just taking these relationships that God says we have from Ephesians 5 and 6. We're going to begin to order our life and find out what we're already doing, what we need to do. Now, this needs to be a specific list. You can get real detailed on this list because the more detailed you get, the more this will help you. But list everything you do on a daily basis. You may even need to add some things you need to do on a daily basis. God, quiet time and prayer, your husband. Now, let me say that these will be different. I have straightened bed and bath under husband. And one lady said, why do you have that under husband and not under home? And I said, because my husband told me once that it was more important to him that our bedroom and our bathroom were straightened than any other room of the house. So that's my husband's priority, and that's something I'm doing for my husband. Slow to talk, but quick to listen. These are some goals down here, too, aren't they?
Huh? Oh, that
he
asked you to do that?
No. I think he would like for me to do that, yes. He didn't ask me specifically to do that, but... Because in relationship with him, being slow to talk and quick to, when he walks in the door, not telling him all the 10 things the kids did wrong that day, but listening to his day. Under children, these are pretty basic. Cuddle time, that's a phrase a friend of mine picked up for the time right after nap time when little children just seem to need to be held. I don't know if you have a child like that. I have one that just needs to be held after nap time. And if I'll go ahead and take the time, you know, and do it then, she's fine while I'm preparing dinner. But if I don't, what was the definition for Harry? A torment. Constant attack. TAT, total attention time. One of my goals is to give both of my children some time during the day, which is total attention time. 5 minutes is better than 10 hours where you're just kind of half listening to them or wait a minute. I hear my 2-year-old tell her dolls, in just a minute, honey. Oh. Family time. That's a time that my husband and I are spending with our children and praying and singing and reading stories before bedtime. And it takes time. It takes us, for those of you, does anybody have small children under 5? Okay. I don't know about you all, but it takes us 45 minutes from the time we start getting our children ready for bed until the lights are out, and they may be asleep by then. And for a long time, I was really hassled by that, frustrated, because it took so much time. And then there wasn't any time left in the evening. And my husband gets home from work late the majority of the time. So I would have the kids down by 9 or 9:30. Then I would need to go clean up the kitchen from dinner. And then it would be time to go to bed. And when my husband and I were talking about how to deal with that, and we began to see that as a need for our children, we began to set that as priority time. My time schedule may be the same, but my attitude is a lot different because that's a special time now for the children. I'm seeing how they respond to it. Oh, they love it. Home. Okay, put down everything here you do on a daily basis. You know, how many meals you cook, how many times you clean up the kitchen, all that. What you have to straighten up, you know, anything that pertains to the home. You can see my list is pretty short. This isn't complete. This is just to kind of jar your thinking, give you some ideas. Others, on a daily basis, I don't do everything on a daily basis. I mean, something for other people that's the same every day, except if it would be for me to be sensitive to the people who call or come to my door. Now, I have some weekly responsibilities, but this is a daily do list. This is something that is done 7 days a week. If you just do it 6 days a week, don't put it on this list. This is something that is done every day of the week. You may be thinking, well, I don't clean up my dishes every day of the week. Sometimes I don't either, but it's a goal. So if it's done every day of the week or if it's a goal for daily, put it down. And then myself, I put, you know, getting dressed for the day, reading the mail and the paper. I really do that for myself. I put standing up because that's a new goal. I really do that for myself. Okay, the next list is the weekly wills list. And this is the same format of our relationships, God, husband, children. Now, for those of you who aren't married, you'll have one less column. Well, you maybe have children. You know, some people are married and have children, but that's true. If you're single, yeah, you'll have two less columns. Look how much more time I made for you already. Okay, now, on your weekly wills list, you want to put things down that are not done daily, that are done at least 1 to 6 times during the week. It has to be done at least one time a week to get on your weekly list. Church attendance, for my husband, he's just begun to take Thursday afternoons off. So we have afternoon projects. I put finances under my husband because that's a responsibility he's delegated to me. And it's important to him that I'm on top of that situation. So that's something I really need to do once a week. If I don't do it once a week, I get behind and overwhelmed, and then I don't do it because it's too big of a task. Do you have things like that that are this cloud of doom hanging over and you think, I can't get to that, that's going to take too much time? One idea I've picked up from one of the time management books I've been reading is to say, I'm going to spend 15 minutes on that project. Or, you know, I did that the other day in my kitchen, like terrible. I thought, oh, I just don't have time to clean it up. I thought, I'll put in 15 minutes. I'll work 15 minutes. And you know that in 15 minutes' time, I told myself, if I work 5 more minutes, it'll be through. And it was. I thought it would take me an hour. Children, what are things that you do on a regular basis? I put down my carpool schedule. Since my children are young, I still have to supervise bathing and washing of the hair. And yes, my children are only bathed twice a week. I know some people would think that that is terribly wrong. But I have found that during the wintertime, my children don't need to be bathed that often. During the summertime in Dusty, Oklahoma is another story. That's why we have a little baby pool in the backyard. Okay, home. What are the things that you do on a weekly basis? This just gives you an idea. I kind of made broad categories on these. You know, when you say house cleaning, I would say that is pretty broad. But what are you doing on a weekly basis? You know, you might want to itemize the things you do to clean your house on a weekly basis because you don't have to clean everything in your home once a week. There are things that can be done once a month. So these would just be things that would be done on a weekly basis. Cooking and baking. I was going to explain that. Thank you. You're thinking ahead of me. That's good. I have a special day, a special morning of the week that I do extra cooking and baking projects. I have so many pregnant friends now, and at our church we take meals, you know, after they have their baby, that I just, you know, kind of bake ahead and stick stuff in the freezer. Or even just to help save some time on busy days. Wednesday and Fridays are real busy days for me. I am so tired by the time, you know, it's time to prepare dinner, that if I haven't started at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning on a dinner, I'm oftentimes too tired to fix it. And my children and husband don't like grilled cheese sandwiches for dinner very often. So those would be extra projects, you know, that you would do beyond the daily cooking. I plan my menus a week in advance. I have a friend who's a home economy major, and she says the most economical way to grocery shop is to shop for 2 weeks at a time, to do major grocery shopping 2 weeks at a time and then pick up the perishables once a week. I have found that there's a particular warehouse-type grocery store that I can go to that I can do major shopping there once every 4 to 5 weeks. And then just pick up small, you know, amounts of groceries on a weekly basis. No, I don't. And, you know, that's a big problem, because I have friends who do, and they say you buy all this food and it's in your refrigerator and you think, boy, this will last for a week. And it's gone in 3 days. Uh-huh. That's right. You may have to, you know, build, you know, or dedicate a special part of an extra room for storing, you know, canned foods and package with the lawn, yeah, the front yard, right? Yes. You know, another thing, I have learned so much from talking to my friends. You know, I'll see somebody that's doing something, I'll say, how do you get that done? You know, I have a friend who told me once, she says, well, now that I'm 6 months pregnant, I'm going to have to dust my baseboards because I'll be too big, you know, after 6 months to dust my baseboards. Now, I didn't tell her this, but I thought to myself, you're supposed to dust your baseboards? I've never done it. So I have that on a yearly list, you know. Okay, others, what are you doing for other people? Well, you know, maybe you have some type of ministry outreach. I have down the Bible study I lead. I also have down the time that it takes me to prepare for the Bible study. I have to plan that in. Or if I don't, I'm doing it at midnight the night before. And I don't like to do that. That is too late. I have a birthday list. And I don't always get the cards there, but it's a goal. Correspondence, I'm really working on. That's a real weakness in my life I'm working on now. Then myself. You know, I've scheduled, you know, what days of the week, you know, I'm going to wash my hair. I don't do this every week. It really depends on my schedule, but this is another idea I got from Linda Dillo's book, Priority Planner, which should also be on the book table. Did you see that there? Yes, this is a fun plan. Y'all can look at this. This will be up here before you buy anything. You can look at it. But she was talking about it herself. She had lunch out with a friend, and since I have child care on Wednesday or Friday, I've tried to do that. It's really easy when I have my Bible study at my house on Wednesday to ask one particular girl to stay after the Bible study and have lunch and get to know them on a deeper level, see some needs or something. Lunch out or lunch in. Mm-hmm. That's something for me. You know, lunch with a friend, though, is what it is. Then I'm in a Bible study on Fridays that's really, you know, kind of my growth Bible study, my preparation time with that. I put that under myself and not under God, because so much of the ministry of that Bible study is from just the interaction with the other women in the group. And then time with friends, which would be under that. Okay, the next list is called Monthly Must. And it's a little different than the other list. I've gone ahead and done it on a format. You know, I forgot to mention one thing. For those of you who work, take your daily do list and just divide it into half and make the top half projects you can do before work, and the lower half, projects you can do after work. And here it is. I keep sticking things everywhere. This book, which I apologize is not on the book table because I just found out about it, is called The Woman's Complete Home Organizer by Rena Stronach. It's a Tyndale Publishing House. Is a good little book on organizing. And that was her idea. And she tries to do small tasks on a daily basis. She's a working mother of three teenagers and a Christian woman. And she has some really neat little helpful charts in the back. I'll have this up here at the front, too, that you all can look at that. But she has certain projects that she does, you know, before work and then after work. And she has also delegated responsibilities to her children. And we're beginning to do that in our home. It, you know, I was reading an article on children that work is a child's highest form of play. And it's very important. It really helps build a child's self-worth to know that there's a specific responsibility they have in the home, that if it's not done, the works of the home slow down. I won't take time to do it, but she has some specific guidelines for how to begin doing that in your home and to follow with giving children responsibilities. Okay, monthly must. I organized this. These are projects that are not done once a week, but would be done on at least once a month. So these things are, no, that's not right, that would be done on a monthly basis. They would be done not weekly, but either once a month or, you know, several times during the year. I don't defrost my freezer every, you know, month. What are the kitchen projects that you have to do? Now, one thing, you know, there's so many little helpful hints that I think we overlook. One thing is that when you spill something when you're cooking, wipe it up right then, because if you let it cook on, it takes twice as much time to clean it up later, doesn't it? But how many times do you just leave it? You think, oh, I don't have enough time to do that now, and you just leave it. Straighten one cupboard or drawer. You know, that's an ongoing. And especially when you have, you know, older or younger children or even husbands who are getting into things and changing them around. Have maybe one day a week which you will do, you know, kitchen projects. And on your kitchen projects day is on Monday. And so the first Monday of the month, you're going to do one project, clean your oven. The second Monday of the month, you're going to straighten one cupboard or drawer. You begin to organize these things, you know, the first week, the second week, the third week, the fourth week of the month, so that these things are done on a regular basis, because the more they're done on a regular basis, the less time it takes to do them. The more time you have to do other things. The bedroom, the bathrooms, children's clothes, sorting seasonal clothes and storing. Boy, I'm really working on that one. That takes a lot of time. Clean fingerprints off light switches and door frames. I want you to know that that is not important to me, but it is to my husband. So when you do this, you need to determine what is important to me. You know, maybe the house, keeping the house, is not important to you, but maybe it is to your husband or to your children, especially if you have teenagers. Oh, they are so sensitive to the home, aren't they? They don't want to bring their friends home because, oh, you know, Dad hasn't mown the grass in 2 weeks or whatever it is. So what is important to your family? You know, we're servants. You know, we're serving out of love. Living room, family room, whatever rooms you have, just begin to make a list of the responsibilities, the things that need to be done. And then after we do this, we're going to organize this in a minute, but we have to do this thinking and charting these things out before we can organize our time. It takes time to get time. But once it's done, it's done. Garage, outdoors, you know, whatever they are. Okay, monthly must list. Okay, the next chart is called Yearly Yearnings. And you almost need to do your monthly must list before you can do yearly yearnings. My husband's title was annual aggravations, and I said, "Well, I'm trying to be positive." He says, "Well, just put that in parentheses down there." So. But these are some goals. How many of you all have hectic Christmases? You don't have to raise your hand. One of our goals at our home is to get Christmas more Christ-centered and less busy and frustrated. And one way to do that is to start early. And we start now in January. We have a lot of really good sales in January that we try to buy a lot of things that we think would be gifts for people in the future. In July, my goal is to finish my major Christmas shopping and have the gifts wrapped. I know. Good luck. I've never tried the wrapping before, but I read that in one of the books I was reading. I thought, you know, that would be really good. I have an attic, which has easy access to my house, where I could wrap things and label them and put them in, you know, plastic bags and just, you know, stick them in the attic, and they would be fine. And summer is a slow time for me. Because my children are young, they're at home all the time, so I'm not used to that drastic change of when they're in school and now they're home for the whole summer. That's not a problem I'm having to deal with yet because so they are home all the time. So summer is a little slower pace for us.
Can you possibly do that and not fall prey to pride?
Boy, it would really be hard, wouldn't it? If you have your Christmas shopping done, I think that might be one time when the Lord would entitle you with a little bit of, you know, maybe the sin of pride, realizing that it's only through the Lord that you've been able to accomplish that. I have friends who've done it, but I can't do that. I won't go through all of this list. I've just tried to give you some ideas. May, that's next month. Make fresh strawberry jam and freeze it for Christmas gifts. Can you all get strawberries up here?
Not in May.
That's too early for you. See, we have a June or July. Well, I'm going to give you a little helpful hint here. And oh, no, our time is up. On the box of Sure Gel Fruit Pact, and it's a box, there's a little recipe for how to make this quick jam. You have to store it in a freezer. So if you don't have access to freezer space, it'd be kind of hard. But I've been doing this for the last several years. It is so quick to make this. And because you don't have to cook anything but water and sugar gel for 3 minutes. I mean, I can do that. Well, you boil water. You boil water. I can boil water. And you stir in the sugar gel. And then you put it into strawberry and sugar mixture and stir it for 10 minutes, and then you put it in a jar, and that's your strawberry jam. And you have problems with gifts for neighbors and school teachers and employees and somebody you don't know comes by and gives you a Christmas gift. I always have about 3 dozen jars of strawberry jam in my freezer. And it's wonderful for those people that you need to give gifts to that you somehow always leave off your list or never can get around to. So yearly yearning. Okay, the next list is a project planner. And what you need to do on here, just one piece of paper. I just call this my project planner. Fold the paper in half. And one side of it is going to be minor projects, things that you can do 5 minutes at a time. Do some recipe filing or, you know, cut out recipes. Something that, you know, if you're talking on the phone to a friend or your child wants you to watch some television program with them, you can sit there, you know, and do a little project. Then on the other side of the paper, begin to make a list of major projects. Making living room curtains. Now that will take several hours just to get everything out and going. And you wouldn't want to start it unless you really had time to work on it. It'd be a waste of time. So begin to make this list of projects that you can add to and then mark off when you finish. And when you have time throughout the week, you can go to that list and say, well, what should I do now? And you have, you know, a project. One of my minor projects is my correspondence with other people. And I'm amazed that if I will say, okay, I'm going to spend 15 minutes writing this letter to so-and-so, I'll get it done. And, you know, people would be much more excited to receive a letter that we've spent 15 minutes on, you know, once or twice every few months than to get, you know, an hour's worth of a letter once every 3 years. Okay, the next chart we're going to talk about is timely tidbits, and this is on the back of your outline. And this is where we really put everything together. And I'm going to pass around kind of a real rough draft of my schedule so you can kind of look at this while we talk. But I just decided that basically I've written down the things that I have to do on a daily basis. I've written down the things I have to do. My carpool, my Bible study, church attendance, set activities. That's a good thing to put in first, because then you can work the rest of your plan around it. Then I've kind of looked at my schedule and I said, okay, what would be a good day for me to do my house cleaning projects? Well, I've decided that Thursday is my good day for house cleaning projects. I do the basic and I try to get in one house project a week. It may not be a major project. It may be a minor project. You know, sometimes some weeks your house is cleaner than other times. It may take less time to clean it. Other times it's dirtier. Then I have a time set where I do the laundry, folding, ironing, those type projects. And I have seen that if I can do a little bit on a regular basis, I don't always have a lot to do. Those who are working, I know that it's easier for them to do a little bit before they go to work, a little bit when they get home from work. And then, you know, Saturdays and Sundays are real heavy days for them. But I spread mine out during the week, and the weekends are light for me. And the evenings are light because my husband and my children really need my attention during that time. But then what we do is I take this sheet, kind of make a master copy, and of course I can be flexible. The yellow markings are my free time that I don't have something specifically allotted. And so I might say, you know, I've got all this time Saturday morning. I'm going to make that a time for to work on my project list. Or I'm going to spend an hour each Saturday morning from 10 to 11 doing something or other. Then when a friend calls and says, you're not homeroom mother, but could you help make 3 dozen cookies for the school party? And we need them by such and such a date. You have your calendar right there by the telephone. I keep mine in the kitchen. And I look at my timely tidbit schedule and I say, can I do that? And based on my flexibility time and what I know can give here, and also praying quickly if I have to give an answer then. I try not to ever give an answer when they first call because I find myself committing myself to things I cannot keep. But if I'll say, I really appreciate you thinking about me and asking me that, could I take some time and look over my schedule with my husband and my children and call you back? And, oh, does that help? I am terrible about saying no. But I can delay them that way. I feel comfortable doing that. And then it's always easier to go back if I need to say no and say, well, I can't. Or to say, you know, I really can't help you. Monday afternoon I don't have enough time. But what about Wednesday afternoon? I have about 2 hours before I pick up carpool. Could I help you then? And also if something immediate comes up and somebody says, Thursday morning, we need you to do this. Or if I have a friend who's really having a rough time and just really needs some comfort, or one of my pregnant friends goes into labor and says, can you come to the hospital with me? You know, I can say, boy, the house cleaning can wait. I'll get it done later. Last week, I really cleaned good. I know that if I miss 1 week of house cleaning, it's going to be okay because I'll get to it next week. It's going to be there, too. This gives us a great amount of freedom. Now, I went through those real fast, so I would like, you know, if you have some questions, we'll talk about them more later. But in closing, let me just encourage you that even a slob can change. And I know that. I've proved that out. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, our model is to be a happy, holy homemaker. And that's found in Proverbs 31. In the Amplified Bible, it has a little quote and it says, in what way did this woman excel them all? And it says, because of her practical devotion to God. She started with her relationship with the Lord and everything else around her began to gradually change. And wouldn't you like your life to be valuable to others? Well, each of us, our lives can have a happy ending. Let me briefly share with you Luke 10:38-42, a familiar passage about Mary and Martha. In the Revised Standard, you'll remember that Martha goes to Jesus, and she says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to the Lord and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her.'" In the Living Bible, verse 40, it says, "Martha was the jittery type and worrying over the dinner." And the same verse in Amplified says, "But Martha, overoccupied and too busy, was distracted about much serving." Martha was a Harriet, a warrior, overoccupied, distracted, and too busy with serving to listen to Jesus. Are you like that? Are you too busy keeping the house or doing handicrafts or even church activities to listen to Jesus? Serving others is good, but seeking Jesus is best. Our time in life will never be truly valuable to others or ourselves until we first sit at the feet of Jesus. And as we consistently seek the Lord first, He will direct our time and our life. His plan may be different from ours, but it will be the most fulfilling and the best for us. And when we are following God's plan for us, He promises us that we will finish all of our work. 1 Chronicles 28:20 in the Living Bible says, "Be strong and courageous and get to work. Don't be frightened by the size of the task, for the Lord my God is with you. He will not forsake you. He will see to it that everything is finished correctly." I want to give you a challenge here. On your outline, you have a place to make a commitment. I'd like for you to think just a moment. What is one thing that I could do today before I go to bed tonight to begin to be more organized in my time, my life, my relationship with God, my husband, my children, other people? What is one thing I could do today? I want you to think about that and write something down. Then, what is something I could do by next Saturday at noon to help me become more organized in my time or life? And then I'd like you also to think about a friend. She may be here today, but a friend that you could say, "You know, I'm really trying to work on this particular thing in my life. And if you haven't heard from me by noon next Saturday, will you call me if I don't call you first and ask me how I'm coming with my project?" And I have found that when I want to do something, that if I need a little bit of help of accomplishing the goal I've set for myself, if I'll have a checkup partner, that really helps because I know somebody else is going to ask me. And what an encouragement that could be to another person. To see, perhaps you said, "I need to begin to have a regular quiet time with the Lord. I haven't done that on a regular basis. But next Saturday at noon, will you ask me if I made it 7 days out of 7? Now, I'm going to have to tell you, no, if I didn't. I do that now with a group of girls. That we've all made that commitment. And it's really encouraging when everybody gets 7 hours and we all, yay, and clap. You know, somebody says, "Oh, just 3. We say, "It must have been a rough week," and, you know, that's no excuse, but we'll pray for you next week. So take a minute, you know, to write these down, and then we'll close in prayer. Father, we just really do pray now and thank you for the time that you've given us. And, Lord, we acknowledge you as the Creator and the Lord of our life and the Master of our time and our life. And Father, I thank you that you've given us so much practical insight from your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would really guide each of us as we desire to allow you to more efficiently control our minds, our lives, and our time. And Father, we just praise you for Jesus.